listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Bless the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By thy toil thou shalt be prospered, and be happy all thy days. Looking once again at the history of Judah as we read it from the pen of Jeremiah, chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them, because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, If you will hearken unto me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, which I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down on the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the priests and the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Let's pray that God will teach us from this, that we'll not only understand the history that is given also for example. And let's pray that which could be much a parallel in our time might not end as it did with them. They did not hearken, and judgment came. Pray that we might hearken, that judgment might be averted. Our Father, we come to thee in the name of Christ, he who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who, as Micah could say, whose goings forth have been of old, and then was born in Bethlehem, lived, taught, died, rose again, and is now back with thee, Father, on thy right hand. We pray in his name, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou thyself will intercede for us, that the Spirit might be given to teach us, even today, to speak the right words, to hear them in the right way, to be doers of the word as well as hearers. We pray for this first of all, that there might be a reviving in the church, that it might again be made a salt in our nation and in every nation in the world. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs of those in suffering, the sick, the injured, the hungry, the homeless, the persecuted, the war-torn lands, the sorrowing ones. We pray, Father, for broken homes to be healed. Pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools, that they might teach truth rather than lies. We pray for our government, our leaders. We pray, Father, that they might be dealt with by thee and restrained, that thou would restrain the wicked, that thou would bless the righteous, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. And above all, we pray that they might be saved, that they might be right voices of authority for us, and they might in the end be in heaven with thee. We pray that for all of our leaders and leaders of other nations as well, especially those at war. We pray, Father, for the lonely, the elderly. We pray for workplace, that there might be work. Make us to know that thou alone art the one that are able to give us wealth. Thou canst give blessing or cursing through nature and every other way. We ask it and give thanks in thy name, and particularly in the name of Christ. Amen. As we continue in this book of Jeremiah, having been in it some time, left it for a time to other portions of God's Word, and now coming back to it, it is a book that has a special meaning to me. When we think of what God said here to Jeremiah, the second verse of this 26th chapter, "Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word." He was to speak what God gave him, and he was not to speak one word less. If you remember what God's calling was to him in the first chapter, we read in the 17th verse, "Therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." And then, Father, description of what God would do with them. "I made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against all the people of the land." Earlier he had said that he had called him both to pull down and to destroy also to throw down and to build and to plant. Yes, Jeremiah planted a word, a promise for the future, as well as gave a word for the destruction of the present. Judgment for the near future, and great promise for the more distant future, as we'll see it in some of the further chapters. Here, as we said last week, was a return to some of the earlier history. Here we have the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Josiah, king of Judah. A couple chapters previous, we read of Zedekiah, who would be a king later than Jehoiakim, even another one between them. And then Zedekiah, coming near the end of his reign, sending to Jeremiah and say, pray that the Lord will do his wonders again, rather than leave us to fall victim to the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. But now, this 26th chapter, he goes back to this earlier history. It may well be the same time as in the 7th chapter, where we read the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter into that at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Along with it, the warning against the words of false prophets and the priest. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. How many there are today that even know our nation is a nation of wickedness? As I'm saying these words, it's before the planned election in the next month. I don't know how the election will go. And as one said, no matter which people become elected, there will still be about 50% of our people, the elections have run close and probably will again, that will think differently than the other 50%. And there will be 50% probably more right some ways, 50% more wrong in other ways, no matter who is elected. We hope that the one won't be elected, won't have been by the time this message comes out, that will be the worst. But we don't know. Some have said of some of those that want to be our president that God is going to use them to punish us. We need to pray whoever will be president when this message is over the air, that God will bless him and us, even through him. That'll be other than what we fear. But we also need to take a lesson from this. Though it is a message to the princes, it is a message to the king, Jehoiakim, the king of Josiah, who was a wicked king. He had a father that was a godly king. Even at one time when Jeremiah wrote and the message was given to Jehoiakim, he cut the paper. He cut the message piece by piece, threw it in the fire. God said to Jeremiah, write it over, write again, because God's word will stand. Do you know that? Do I know that as we should? God's word will stand. Even though Satan in the very beginning of creation said, hath God said? Yes, God has said. God said to Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. They didn't die immediately physically, but they died spiritually. And sometime after, died physically. Death came because of sin. And over, it has come. And here, soon to come, in Jerusalem and in Judah, death in a terrible, terrible, terrible way. Famine, pestilence, the sword. Die, 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 young and old. The voice of mirth would be done. the voice of the bride and the bridegroom will no longer be heard. Judgment, judgment, judgment. Sometimes we say history repeats itself. And it could come here by many ways. It could come in natural calamities. It could come in the withholding of the rain. We saw that this past summer for a time, God wonderfully gave rain after withholding it for some time and seeing the crops suffer, but then sending it so much of it would begin again to grow. And it did, and brought us a harvest. Others aren't that blessed. But here, God is speaking, and he's repeating this after he had described them going into judgment, after he had described, particularly in two chapters ago, chapter 24, that most of them would die, and there would be a number that would be carried away captive for their good to Babylon and be kept there for 70 years. All that was unfolding, and now he is going back to the former history. As I said, it could well be the same description as in chapter 7, that God says, stand in the court of the Lord's house. If it wasn't the very same time, it was near the same time, the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, and it was very similar. Both would be then standing in the temple, in the Lord's house, standing there as the people were coming, and we see the result of it. After God told him that once more, the call to repent, he said, speak every word, don't take away. And Jeremiah sometimes had almost drawn back. God had said to him at one time to preach all that he had to say to him and say, separate the precious from the vile, and then you'll stand before me. Jeremiah had sometimes wanted to shirk, and God had warned him and even said, if you can't run with a footman, how will you run with a horseman? How will you speak if it gets worse? And now he is again repeating this earlier message at this time. 606 years before Christ, some of the other history was into the time of the carrying away captive, and some of it almost to the end of it. But now returning to this earlier history, sometimes we have that in books, and even in novels or stories, that one chapter will deal with this person, and then the later chapter will deal with another person at the same time or even earlier. But here, the message. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken unto me to walk in my way, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you hearken not. Yes, there were other prophets. Zephaniah was about the same time. Later in this chapter, we read of Urijah, who had also been there, and whom this same king that is mentioned in the beginning of this chapter, Jehoiakim, the beginning of this reign. The last part of the chapter tells us about Uriah, who prophesied against this city, and they tried to catch him. They tried to kill him. He fled to Egypt. Jehoiah the king sent men to Egypt and brought him back and slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves. That's what has happened to another prophet with this same king that is there now, to whom Jeremiah is sent to speak and to the people during his reign. And he says, they had not hearkened. He says, I will make this house like Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where Eli was and where the tabernacle was for a time. He says, I'll make this house like that. His presence would no longer be there. As we read it from the 7th chapter, God says, this is no longer the temple of the Lord. You say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. This is what I started to say a moment ago. Many will know that our country is bad, sinful. They blame oft times the leaders. The leaders are wrong. We need new leaders. We need other leaders. And you will know by the time this message comes on the air, the Lord willing, whether or not there were new leaders or whether the same leader is in place. But that is not the only point. What about us? What about the people? He said, if they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way. Here, he was saying it in the temple. Yes, it was the capital city as well, Jerusalem, and the king's house was probably not too far away. And we read that, the 11th verse, then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes. And so they came up from the king's house. They came up to see what was going on. It was probably a tumult in the temple, in the house of the Lord. Here was Jeremiah speaking, and all these people were probably up in arms and making much noise. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. He ought to be dead. Thou shalt surely die. That's what they were saying to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was saying the word of the Lord, and they were saying, we'll stop this word. It never will be stopped. Men's mouths that have spoken it have been stopped. But even then, Abel was stopped by Cain, his brother. And what do we read in the New Testament? He being dead, yet speaketh. His message comes to us, the message of Abel, the message of others. And then think of him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. They crucified him. His message is there. His message is to you, as it's written. His message came from heaven to Saul, who became Paul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? One who was crucified, dead, buried. They sealed his tomb, but they couldn't keep him in the grave. He rose again, and he speaks. And Saul, who became Paul, was, as Christ said, my witness. And there are those today. Many have been killed. Many have become the victims of persecution. And even as we read here, thou art worthy to die, not only worthy to die, thou shalt surely die. But at this time the princes came. And Jeremiah said, I'm in your hand. But the princes said, we didn't read that far, but the princes and all the people said unto the priest and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord. And then they used the example of Micah, the time of Hezekiah. And he says, Hezekiah didn't do that. He said, did Hezekiah, king of Judah and all Judah, put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced unto them, against them? And here he is. We sometimes think the Lord just repents or changes his mind. But what does it really mean? Going back to verse 3, if so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil. God has said it's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. Already in the first chapter, what do you see, Jeremiah? He saw something coming from the north. It would be the nation of the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, spoken, prophesied. And yet, over and over, God had called them to repentance. Not only in the 7th chapter, but earlier, in one of the earlier chapters, if you will return, you will not have to remove. All of that God said, and here he said, that I may repent. If they turn from their evil way, I will not then send the punishment, is what God is saying. Yes, at times God postpones the punishment by prayers of some. He did that with Moses when he said, let me alone, and he was going to destroy Israel. But here is the general way that God speaks. He also speaks from the other side. repent or perish. Here he said, if you do repent, you won't perish. I will repent me of the evil that I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. If you will not hearken to me, which I've set before you, by the prophets, rising up early, and as we read, I believe, last week from 2 Chronicles, because he had compassion on his people and his place. God was angry with them for their sin. But at the same time, he had compassion on his people and on his place, sending the prophets in the midst of their sin, telling them, judgment is going to come. Judgment is going to come. But if you repent, it will not come. And that's the message for today. That's the message for us, for a people. As I said, when this message comes over the air, in a few weeks, a couple of weeks, then the election will be done. We will probably look to leaders and say, they ought to do this, they ought to do that. Will they do this? Will they do that? Important. But of greater importance, what will you do? What will you do with the word of the living God? What will you do in your temple? What will you do in your house of the Lord? Will you just say, well, the nation is bad, but my temple is all right. My church is all right. We're all right. We're different than the rest. There might be some difference. But where is the right church? Right in truth, right in doctrine and completeness, that all others could join with them and be one in truth, one in the Lord, one in that which is to be taught to the rest of the world, one in bringing true obedience in the home, in the church, in the schools, everywhere. Right in baptism. Believe and be baptized, and thou shalt be saved. Right in every way. Let's not be so proud. Let's not be Laodiceans, thinking we're rich and in need of nothing. Or sometimes thinking, well, others ought to be like us. All of us need to be like Christ. Now, let's not take a triangle and move each other over the bottom. We need to be moved up the sides of the triangle to him who's on the throne and be conformed to his image, to his way, to his mind, his spirit, his word. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, after having been justified by faith through his blood for all of our sins, more than we can count. Have you believed his word?
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.